Well, today we will wrap up our sermon series with a focus on the unexpected and surprising ways that Jesus works in our lives. And there were a number of times when Jesus did things that totally surprised the disciples. And those surprises had a way of changing them, had a way of changing what they believed while moving them closer to the Lord. In today's scripture from Matthew, Jesus took three of his disciples up a mountaintop, and they were totally floored by what happened there. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open to Matthew chapter 17, and I'll read the first nine verses, and the words will appear on the screen. Again, this is Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Let's pray. Oh God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you. Amen. I sometimes wonder if the disciples ever just looked at Jesus and said, "Are you serious? Just when we thought we knew what we were supposed to be doing, you decide to change things up on us." Well, in our scripture passage, the disciples seem like they know what they were supposed to be doing. They thought they were doing the right thing. They thought it made perfectly good sense to make three shelters, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. It was the hospitable thing to do. And they thought they should tell everyone what they had seen up there on the mountaintop. It was proof of the divine nature of Jesus. Wouldn't others want to hear that? And isn't that the kind of thing disciples should be doing? Shouldn't they be sharing the good news of Jesus with others? Well, these three disciples were doing exactly what they thought they should be doing until Jesus changed things up, which had to have been terribly frustrating for them. They were trying to act hospitable, and yet Jesus didn't seem interested in whether or not they built those shelters. And they were eager to share the good news of what they had seen. But Jesus explicitly told them to not talk about it. Now that probably surprised the disciples. And it was probably irritating because they thought they knew what they should be doing. And then Jesus made a shift. Let's not overlook this part of the story, because there are a lot of times when we act in certain ways because it's what we think we're supposed to do. But what if we're doing things that we shouldn't do any longer? What if Jesus is nudging us to make a change? Now, Jesus certainly does this sort of thing. Just look at his earthly ministry. He was constantly working for change and transformation. But of course, not everyone thought they needed to change. Some folks thought they were already on the right path. They thought they were doing the things that they should be doing. And some of them were even legalistic about it. The Pharisees, for instance, told people that they needed to follow the law to the letter. And if they did, everything would be fine. But Jesus noticed that things weren't fine. The poor weren't being cared for. The hungry weren't being fed. The sick were being ostracized. And he even called out the scribes and the Pharisees for being hypocrites because they weren't practicing what they preached. Now, Jesus didn't snap his fingers and instantly change this situation, but he encouraged his followers to think carefully about what they're doing. Sometimes he pushed them to go in new directions, and Jesus did things like this because he wanted his followers to not be complacent. He wanted them to live with a sense of urgency. Just before Jesus went up that mountain where he was transfigured, he had taken his disciples to a region known as Caesarea Philippi. You can read about this in Matthew 16. In Caesarea Philippi, there was a place there called the Cave of Pan. It was considered by many people in the ancient world as the gateway to Hades. Now, I think Jesus chose to go there as a way of teaching the disciples that his mission involved confronting evil head on. That certainly made sense to the disciples because it fit with their understanding of the Messiah. But then Jesus got them talking about what kind of Messiah they thought he was. And he asked them point blankly, who do people say the Son of Man is? At this point in Jesus' ministry, people all around Israel had been talking about him. And many were saying that he was one of the greatest prophets. But Peter was the one who correctly confessed that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus told Peter that it's on the rock of his confession that the church would be built and that the gates of Hades would not prevail against it. It's not lost on me that Jesus spoke those words while he was standing near the Cave of Pan, the literal gates of hell. You see, Jesus was making the point that he needs his followers to join with him in the fight against evil, but not in the way that they might have imagined. You see, Jesus was leading Peter and his fellow disciples to make a shift in what they believed about the Messiah. They knew that the Messiah was coming to take on evil, but they thought it would happen in the way that most humans do it, through a furious battle where armies fight against each other. But that's not what Jesus came to do. He didn't raise up an army. Instead, he told the disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem where he would be killed and raised on the third day. And that didn't sit well with Peter. In Matthew 16, verse 22, he said, "God forbid it, Lord. This must not happen to you." Now, Peter was thinking that Jesus should be a mighty warrior kind of Messiah who would knock down Israel's enemies instead of being defeated by them. But Jesus told him that he needed to change his thinking. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to take on evil. He was going to fight it head on, but in an unexpected way, through suffering love. Grasping that idea was a huge shift in belief for Peter and the rest of the disciples. And just as that change was settling in, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain where he was transfigured, and it was there that he changed things up again. The disciples thought they knew what they should be doing, but Jesus had other plans. Now, these examples point to the fact that Jesus sometimes works in unexpected ways. And for that reason, we need to be discerning and we need to be open to what's happening. But there's also an invitation here. It's an invitation for us to respond to the situations in our lives in an unexpected way. Now, we may think we know what we should do in a given situation, but having the discipline and the commitment to think and pray and discern may point us toward a new response that's totally surprising and yet wonderfully needed. Jesus wants his followers to be discerning because it gives clarity. And Jesus is always working to help us more clearly understand what we should be doing. Right before leaving Caesarea Philippi, Jesus said in Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." And part of what it means to take up our cross is that we may need to let some things die so that something new can come to life. Jesus wanted his disciples to let go of the idea that the Messiah would use violence to achieve his goals. And instead, he wanted them to embrace the fact that God would set things right through the suffering love of Christ. That's an example that he wants all believers to follow, but really that's isn't easy to do in a culture like ours that often justifies the use of violence, which is why it's so important that we constantly seek clarity. We need the help and the guidance of God. Right now, our church is seeking clarity and discernment regarding the direction of our worship services. And to help with this, we've got a study going on in our Sunday school classes. John alluded to that earlier when he was sharing his testimony. Our classes are reading a book that discusses the foundational elements of worship. And I hope that's prompting us to think about why we do the things we do in our worship services. Are there things that we're doing that we need to stop doing? Is Jesus calling us to do something unexpected? Now, whether we're talking about worship services or mission projects or anything else, it is helpful to consider why we do the things we do. And sometimes we'll discern that we need to make a change. Sometimes we'll discern that things don't really need to change, maybe just our attitudes. Now, both can be unexpected responses in a given situation, but we always need to be open and discerning of what Jesus is leading us to do. It seems, though, that discernment's only half the battle. We may discern what we need to do, but we may not want to follow through because we're afraid of something. Maybe we think what God is calling us to do is too hard, or maybe we think someone will get upset with us or angry at us or whatever. While Peter, James, and John were up on the mountaintop, a bright cloud appeared and said to them, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And they were listening. They were discerning. And yet, the Bible tells us they were terrified. They were filled with fear. But Jesus touched them, and he said, "Don't be afraid." Jesus never asks us to do something in which he leaves us alone. Rather, he's right there with us, close enough to touch us and reassure us and give us the courage to move forward. Jesus wants us to be open to the unexpected ways that God is working, and that requires flexibility. We might need to make a shift with an attitude or a belief or a behavior. But when we make that kind of change, we're positioned to join in the Lord's work. And what happens may very well surprise people. And yet those surprises have a way of drawing people closer to the Lord. Albert Schweitzer was a minister, a missionary, and a doctor. He's quite a talented man. He lived a life of service. And in 1953, he won the Nobel Peace Prize. He became famous. And with that fame came lots of attention. And as you know, when you're a celebrity, you can't just blend into a crowd. People notice you, and they want your autograph, and they want to take their picture with you. That sort of thing happened to Dr. Schweitzer, who easily stood out in a crowd. As you can see from this picture, he had a head full of hair and a big mustache. He stood 6'4", tall man. People noticed him when he was out and about. He couldn't just blend into a crowd. Well, there was this time when he took a train ride to Chicago. And when he arrived there, he was greeted by a large group of reporters and politicians and fans. And as soon as he stepped out of that train, cameras flashed and people lined up to get their pictures taken with him. But he quickly got distracted by something that he saw off in the distance. And he proceeded to walk right through the crowd and ignore all those cameras. But he saw this elderly woman who was struggling with two large suitcases. And he went up to her with a big smile on his face, and he grabbed her suitcases and walked her to her bus. And once she was on board, he wished her a safe journey onward. Now, this was a really surprising thing to happen, given that here's this famous celebrity. But as he did that, all those people who wanted their picture taken with him had followed him toward where that lady was. He didn't notice it until after he sent the lady on. And he turned around and saw them there, and he graciously said, "I'm sorry to have kept all of you waiting." Now, most of us would not have expected a celebrity to act like that. And one person was so surprised by it that he turned to a reporter and said, "That's the first time I ever saw a sermon walking." Dr. Schweitzer did the unexpected. He surprised everyone with the way he acted. And yet it was in that moment that he gave people a glimpse of God's love. When we are open to the work of God, we may very well be led to do something unexpected. It may surprise people. And yet it's in those surprises that Christ is revealed. And that's always a gift worth sharing. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we pray today that we would be open to the unexpected ways you might work in our lives. It is easy for us to get set in our ways and comfortable with what we're doing that we might not pay attention to how you are at work. We may even think we have things figured out. And so we pray that our hearts and our minds will be open and discerning so that we might join in your good work. And Lord, we pray that might lead us to do something unexpected for others, which will hopefully draw them closer to you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.